Well, that's our new theme song for the, what is it, from 10:15 to 1 o'clock, or 10:15 to 12 o'clock show period. Scott and I are doing it on Wednesday, and I'm doing the show on Thursday, and they're working on it for Friday. We hope you enjoy it. We're going to try to bring you talk of Marion, and try to bring you a trivia, and bring you, eventually we're going to have gifts and things. Right now it's kind of tough with the COVID virus going on, but what do you think of that song? Anyway, we're going to keep that going. That we like the song. It's a happy song, and we all here at the station kind of like that song. Okay, it is, what is it? It's the 4th of June already. Before I come back on the air, we will have the D-Day Memorial Day, where we landed. I think it was, I'm trying to remember, was it, the 6th? I believe that was right. And there are all sorts of interesting days to remember over the summer. We're going to do some trivia about those days. You know, one of the things I thought about while on the break there, somebody, one of our PSAs does a lot of the acronyms and a lot of the letters that people use instead of laugh out loud. It's LOL, right? And I thought maybe I'm going to find a dictionary of all those letters, and I'm going to do one of my shows on that. I think that would be interesting. Please don't do it. Use those. Please don't use your phone while you're driving. Let's leave it at that, all right? You're listening to WWGH here at 107.5. I'm Glenn Coble. We're on a no-name show. I forgot what Scott's calling it, but it's only a temporary name anyway, so I'm not going to worry terribly about it. We're doing some trivia about Ohio. I'm going to give you this question right now so you can be thinking about it. If you have to think very long, you're not from Ohio, okay? What city is the Football Pro Hall of Fame? The Pro Hall of Fame. We're all learning something, including yours truly, who really messed up one of our questions earlier and said that Ulysses S. Grant took over for Lincoln when he was shot. That was wrong. It was Johnson. I knew as soon as I said it, I was wrong, but I couldn't remember why I was wrong, so I tried to keep quiet, and that way maybe you didn't know. But one of the callers knew and called in. I appreciate that. What city is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in? If you don't know the answer to this, you haven't lived in Ohio for more than 3 months. I knew it before we moved to Ohio, and that probably because I was in athletics before I moved to Ohio. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is located in Canton, Ohio. Now, what we talked earlier, is Canton a suburb of Cleveland? The people of Canton won't like hearing that. All right. There is a type of shoe that women in Ohio are not allowed to wear. It's against the law to wear this type of shoe. Now, think about that one. And I remember as a kid, my fellow male friends would laugh about this type of shoe. I don't know why we laughed, but we did. And a lot of little girls wore this type of shoe. And I never did understand if it really caused a problem or not. But anyway, what type of shoe is it illegal for women to wear in the state of Ohio? I wonder if that's still on the books. Like I said, this was put together in 2015, so it may be off the books by now. We have, we have a new Congress since that time. It didn't change much in makeup. But anyway, you're welcome to call in if you have some answers or if you just want to talk. That's what we do here on the Talking Place in Marion. The number is 740-383-9944. Let me give you that again, 740-383-9944. This afternoon, after noon, we're going to have our swap shop on. And we have had a few people starting to ask us if they can call in. And yes, we'll take some calls. We'd appreciate it if you will use all manner of safety if you decide you're going to sell something to the public. Wear your mask when you're selling it. Try not to touch other people. Stay away from them. Your items that you're trying to sell, wouldn't be a bad idea to give them a little rub down on with some with a cloth that has some disinfectant on it. Anyway, all right. Where was I? What type of shoe are women not allowed by law to wear in the state of Ohio? Well, the answer to that one is something that us young boys used to laugh about. You're not allowed to wear patent leather shoes in public in Ohio. The excuse for that is, or the reason for that is, supposedly they worked like a mirror and you could see up girls' dresses if they wore those. Believe me, as a young guy, you know, as a 12-year-old, I tried to do that, and I never did figure out how that would work. but that's the law. We have some really stupid laws on the books, and some of them are stupider than others. When I lived in Ohio, we had a law that a woman could not be a bartender. I just never understood that one. Oh, well. Okay, this is kind of an interesting one. Who invented the candy that we call Lifesavers? It was a gentleman from Ohio. But who invented that? It was kind of interesting. Lifesavers were kind of, back in the day, were kind of the M&Ms of today. Lifesavers were invented because in the summer, chocolate would melt in your pocket or it'd melt in your hand, whereas Lifesavers would not. And that's one of the things that encouraged the gentleman who were trying to find his name, that encouraged him to invent this candy called Lifesavers. You know, they look like a little lifesaver. That's kind of the reason why they're called that, I'm sure. I love them. There are certain ones that were better than others. I think every kid loves the red one. Some of us did not like the yellow one. I liked just about all of them, though. They were just, what, pure sugar? And what kid doesn't like pure sugar? I loved pure sugar. Matter of fact, as a little kid, I think I did occasionally go get a spoonful of sugar out of the sugar bowl. Maybe I didn't even use a spoon, but then I'd put it in my tongue. That was never quite as satisfying as having a Lifesaver, however. The pure sugar just was not nearly as much fun as having like a Lifesaver. Okay, the person that invented Lifesavers candy, it was invented in Garrettville, Ohio. Garrettville, Ohio, in 1912, by a gentleman named Clarence Crane. And he invented Lifesavers, and it was kind of the no-melt candy for the summer for kids. You can get those in the little tiny short rolls, maybe an inch and a half long, or you can get them in regular size rolls. And they have a hole in the middle. I don't know if that was done by the marketing people. I don't think the marketing people, when it was invented back in, 1912, were nearly as sophisticated as they are now. But nowadays, they would put a hole in the middle to save money, I'm sure. But back then, I think it was just for the looks of the lifesaver. Anyway, his name, Clarence Crane of Garrettsville, Ohio, invented the lifesaver in 1912. We have a Shirk's candy here in Marion has some terrific candy. I don't know if you've ever been over there and had their candy, but oh my, it is terrific. When I worked at the credit union, I used to give away boxes as, you know, thank yous to people that helped the credit union out, and they were always well received. And we also did that if we had a guest speaker, we'd give them a box of Shirk's candy. Loved it. Anyway. All right, where are we going? Okay, let's find another question here. All these questions are about Ohio. If you want to make any comments or if you'd like to call in to give an answer, the number is 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in and just shoot the ball, we can do that. That's kind of what we're famous for, being the talking place here in Marion, where people do call in sometimes and just start talking about things that nobody's been talking about before. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a prime gripe that you want to get off your maybe the straightness of the streets in Marion, or there might be not enough one-way streets in America or in Marion. If you have a gripe, you're welcome to call in. All right, let's see here. Some well-known personalities were born in Ohio. Think of a few. I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll give you 5. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think through this. See how many you can name, write down, and how many your wife can name and write down. We'll test you and see which one of you is smarter about Ohio personalities. Or the kids, if the kids are there. Because it is Thursday and there is no school, right? So the kids might have that. While you're thinking about it, I got the word from my grandson that he's been recruited by another school to pitch. His biggest advantage is he's 5 foot or 6 foot four or five. He's left-handed and a pitcher. And he can throw it at age 14. He can throw it 85 miles an hour. So he's going to be a good one for somebody. But I think he's up to about 8 schools in North Carolina and South Carolina that are coming after him. Probably the biggest name is Duke. And it's kind of fun, especially having been in athletics for 18 years myself. I was not an athlete, by the way. Well, I was in high school and college, but not beyond. I was in the administration. Okay, let's go back. What were we talking about? Okay, 5 people that are famous personalities from Ohio. And I didn't know any of these, quite frankly. Yes, I knew one of them. Steven Spielberg was from Ohio. Did you know that? All that crazy imagination came from right here in Ohio. Now, the one I did know, I knew that Paul Newman was from Ohio. I followed his racing career, also his acting career, but his racing career probably more than his acting career. He did some great movies, though. Annie Oakley was from Ohio. You know, the girl who could shoot straight? Annie Oakley was from Ohio. Made her name famous by her really high quality shooting exhibitions that she did on 2 or 3 of the cowboy shows that went around the country, and she was a famous Ohioan. Arsenio Hall, who I used to love watching his show, Arsenio Hall was from Ohio. And last but definitely not least, Clark Gable. Now, we have a lot of other famous people. I know that. But those are the ones that this trivia site tended to pick out were the more famous of the bunch. That will stand to be arguable. Let me see here. I got to check one other thing. Yeah, I'm good. I had to look at my, to make sure my computer was working right. It kind of flashed at me. All right. Now, this is one of those absolutely crazy rules, laws that we have on the books. Again, I don't know if it's still on the books, but it was until 2015. Crazy laws, and we have plenty of them. We have sometimes I wonder. I ran for office, and when I ran for office, I know I never would have voted for this, but, excuse me. How many women can gather in one house or live in one house? How many women can live in one house? I'm trying to see if it has any caveats.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back again. And the question I asked just before we went to the public service announcements was, how many women can live in one house? Now I'm sure they're talking about adult women. How many adult women can live in one house in the state of Ohio? Only five. I'm guessing that went back to maybe a nod to House of Ill Repute or something along that line. That's the only reason why I can assume that they would make a law even like that. What would happen, you know, back in, especially in the 30s when the Dust Bowl and the Depression and all that stuff was going on? I bet there were a lot of houses that had five or more women living in them because it was required. I mean, you just had to. Your sisters and aunts and nieces, everybody lived together. Okay. And I couldn't find out. It did say five women. It did not say five adult women, but I'm guessing that's implying that they were adult women. Okay, I'm going to skip this next one because I think it's wrong. The Ohio State flag is, we all know what it looks like. It's not rectangular. What other states have non-rectangular flags? Do you know other states that have non-rectangular flags? You know what I'd like to see? I'd love to see a round flag. Be hard to fly it, though. It's interesting. I've noticed with all the protests that are going on, there are people, and I've seen one on the porch of a house here in Marion, where the flag is flown upside down. The inference is that you're in distress. And a lot of people are flying their flags upside down in these protests, stating that America is in distress. And a sentiment that I'm not going to argue with, but I'm not going to talk about it either on this show where we're doing trivia about Ohio. Okay, how many non-rectangular flags are there other than the state of Ohio? Zero. There are no other state flags that are other than rectangular. They are all rectangular. We were the only ones that had creativity when we designed our flag. I love that show, Big Bang Theory. I love the show, but I also, one of my favorite shows is when Sheldon starts the show of Fun with Flags. And it goes on for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 episodes, but I love that theme that they go through. As I told you, I think last week, I used to be responsible for the flag at my credit union, and I learned a lot of rules in the flag rules that you have to follow. I'm not going to get into them now, but it's quite an interesting subject. All right. Is there any time in state law that you are not allowed to be arrested? Any day, any time, any holiday, any news day. Is there any time that you are not allowed to be arrested? That almost seems stupid to think about, but let's ask that question. Anytime, by law, by Ohio law, state law, that you cannot be arrested in the state, all right? I'll give you a few seconds to argue about that. Like I said, we have a lot of crazy laws throughout the nation. Ohio doesn't have a corner on that market. But there are a surfeit of laws throughout the nation that just are ignorant or undoable, like the law that I mentioned early on that you can't fish for whales in the state of Ohio. Oh, come on. All right. I'm going to give you the answer to this one because it's really crazy. There was a little note at the end of this one that said it had never been applied. But you are not allowed to be arrested in the state of Ohio on Sunday, any Sunday, or on the 4th of July. Come on now. That can't be right. Interesting law, though. I suppose that helps the police force not have to work on Sunday, right? If they aren't allowed to arrest you. I suppose that's based in religious law. Like I said, the book that I got this from said that law had never been applied. Now, here's an interesting thing. Did you know that Teflon was invented in Ohio? Do you know who invented it and when? We'll give you a couple of minutes to answer that. And you are listening to WWGH 107.1 here in Marion, Ohio, the talking place. And we're doing just a kind of a hodgepodge of questions and stuff about Ohio right now. Each week, this is going to change. We're going to kind of change. We're going to have guests on, I think, next week during the day. I will have, I'm hoping to have Reverend Kiger on, who many of you know from his stint at Epworth and his stint as the chaplain out at the hospital. We're going to talk about the state of a religion, and that was kind of brought on in my mind by our president holding up a Bible standing in front of church as a photo op. And that, by the way, was also done by Hitler, which is kind of scary. I don't know that it had anything to, if they were similar in any way other than they were both holding up a Bible. But anyway, the question I just asked, let's see, what was it? Where was Teflon invented and when and by whom? Well, it was invented in Ohio, but it was invented in New Carlisle, Ohio. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it? New Carlisle, Ohio. And it was invented in 1938. by a gentleman whose name is Roy J. Plunkett. Sounds like a football player, doesn't it? Roy J. Plunkett of New Carlisle, Ohio, invented Teflon in 1938. I had no idea it was invented that long ago. Now, since then, they have had all sorts of questions about whether it's safe to use, but we have a phone caller. Let's go to the phone. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Charlie?
No, this is Glenn.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wonder if Jeff Ruth is still there.
No, Jeff Ruth does not work at WWGH, and you are, by the way, on the air. And
oh, sorry about that.
So, no, Charlie has passed away, and this is the first week since then that we're doing a show. Our shows are in honor of him. So.
Okay. Well, my father taught him radio. My father was Joe Peters.
Okay. All right.
Do you know him?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
He was the chief engineer at WMRN.
He was, what was he at WMRN?
He was the chief engineer.
Oh, okay. Charlie was a great engineer himself.
Yes.
Charlie and I talked many a time. I was his engineer before he passed here at this station. I was a first phone operator back in the day when you had to have a first phone operator on call at all times. For I didn't know much. I learned it at the Cram School in Chicago, but yeah, Charlie was a great engineer, and I'm sure he would have remembered your father.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Well, for the mission.
I'm sorry? Have a good day. All right. I'm sorry. Every once in a while, since our phone comes right in here, whether we're on the air or not, it goes on the air. A gentleman had remembered Charlie from days gone by when his father worked with Charlie at WMRN. And it kind of breaks your heart to hear things like that, but it also makes you proud. Makes me proud that I knew Charlie pretty well. We miss him, we're going to continue on. We know darn well that Charlie would have wanted us to continue on. And he'd have been a lot better at this trivia game than I am. He would have known the answer that Ulysses S. Grant was not Lincoln's vice president, or did not take over after Lincoln was killed. I did know that. I had a little brain stoppage. All right. Where were we? Okay. You know that there is a house in Ohio that's made entirely of trash. The whole house is made of nothing but trash. I bet it smells great. Yikes. And somebody came up with a very inventive name for that house. It's called the House of Trash. What city is it in? This House of Trash. I'll give you a couple minutes or a minute to think that one through and close the doors and windows so you don't smell it. Last night, you know, I asked James Anderson about skunks in Marion. James is the naturalist for the Ohio, or for the Marion Parks Department. Anyway, James told me that this year was unusually high for the number of skunks, and I had one wandering by our house last night, sauntered through our backyard, and gave us a whiff of his odor. My dog doesn't seem to notice, but my dog is 15 years old. She doesn't see. She's probably 99% blind. I think she sees light. That's about it. She doesn't smell very well. We have to put her face in her food. She is getting like me. She doesn't walk nearly as well as she used to. But boy, when she wants to romp, she will romp around and around and around and then settle down and lay on the ground. Kind of like me. All right, you're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1. And we are the talking place. Let's continue on. We have a few more questions that we can give you. Also, in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about the 12 greatest protests that changed the world's history. And many of them were in the United States, but some of them were elsewhere. All right. This one is the one I mentioned earlier. That actually in this trivia book, it actually mentions Marion, Ohio. Now, we all know this, but they call it a mysterious rolling sphere. Now, you know about that, right? There is a mysterious rolling sphere in the Marion Cemetery. It's made out of granite, I assume. It's a 5,200-pound sphere of granite, and it's been revolving on its base since the late 1800s. It was put in the, you know, in the Ripley Believe It or Not book. As a matter of fact, apparently they featured it in their book in 1929, and it's still moving. How much does it move every year?
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Well, that was a good public service announcement to end that or to ask that question. Gave you a few moments to go over. The question is, you know, that moving ball of granite out in the Marion Cemetery, I'm surprised it weighs over 2 tons, almost 3 tons. It's been revolving since the 1800s. And it was featured in the Believe It or Not book by Ripley back in 1929. It's still moving, and how many inches per year? Have you figured that out? About 2 inches every year. That's a lot. Hold that up. It's about the length, I guess, of your thumb. That's a lot to move, and there are all sorts of theories on why it moves. One of the theories I've heard is that it has lodestone inside of it, and it's constantly turning toward the North Star or something. I don't know. I've also heard that the movement of the trucks, the vibration of the trucks that go by out on Delaware or on the boulevard there, they cause it to jiggle around. I'm not sure anybody really knows the answer to that. I think they just have lots of theories, okay? But it moves 2 inches a year, that big, giant, almost 2-ton granite orb. Do you know that there is a mound? You know, the Indians are noted for having mounds. Well, there is a serpent mound. That means it's a mound that's in the shape of a snake. And the largest serpent mound is a half mile long. It's on a plateau overlooking what city? Well, it's not really a city. It's a valley. And you can mention to yourself what county, as my phone dings here on the side, letting me know that they want me to contribute to some other candidate. I'll give you the answer to this because it's not something that I think a lot of people know about. It overlooks Bush Creek Valley in Adams County. And I've seen a picture of it, and it's a really long serpentine mound. That's what it is. The trivia page gave me no hint of what Indian group did that, but I think in most cases it's Native Americans that were responsible for those mounds. Now, this one is just off the wall. I loved this one when I saw it, and I knew that, well, I'm kind of a crazy kind of person that way. Do you know where the largest and most comprehensive collection of historical contraceptives is housed? The largest historical collection of contraceptives is housed in what museum in what city? It's Ohio, but it... are you arguing yet? Or maybe your wife just turned the radio off. So things like this, these silly things, silly or stupid or whatever you want to call them, they kind of tickle me deep down inside. Let me ask the question again. The largest, most comprehensive collection of historical contraceptives is housed here, and it's the largest in the world. Where is it housed? They keep dinging me. A lot of people want a lot of money. I don't have any money, so I'm not gonna respond. It's 11:50 here, about 10 more minutes, and then we'll go to our big break, and then after that, we're gonna talk about 12 of the 12 protests that changed the history of the world. Okay, and this will be arguable. There will be people that say, well, how about this one or how about that one? But this is, they get to select because they wrote the book, all right? All right, we're asking, where is the largest collection of contraceptives, their historical contraceptives? Where is it held? It's held in the Dietrich Museum of Medical History in Cleveland, Ohio. I love it. And yes, I would tell my children that. But my I can hear my eldest son right now saying, oh, Dad, that's disgusting. Okay. Do you know where the very first mechanical cash register was invented? My wife and I have gotten so we watch American Pickers occasionally on TV, and they're always finding old cash registers. They're beautiful instruments. I don't know how they get them out of places. Some of them must weigh, you know, several hundred pounds. They're huge, some of them. Most of them are, you know, probably 60 to 100 pounds, I'd guess. They are beautiful, and I don't know why they were made so ornately, but almost all of the older ones were very ornate. Now it's just a screen on a computer. Do you know where the largest, where the first mechanical cash register was invented? I suppose there were cash registers that you weren't mechanical. You had to maybe put the number in, and you had to open the drawer by hand. But this one is the first mechanical cash register. Where was it invented? Do you know? Not very far from here. You got to shoot southwest. Not that far. You went too far. You went down to Cincinnati. That's not it. All right, Dayton, Ohio is where the very first mechanical cash register was invented. Kind of interesting. We've had a lot of inventions. We all know about the airplane, right? The Wright brothers. How about where the first concrete street in America was laid? And it's still being used, apparently. It was poured in 1891. I wonder how many potholes they've had to fix in that. It's not too far. Again, not too far from here. You drive over, I think, 33, and you'll get close. That's the way I go to my old hometown of Valparaiso, Indiana. And I go pretty close. The very first concrete street that was laid in America, and it's still in use, and it was poured. Where was it poured? It was poured in 1891. And it was poured. You ready? Mom and Dad, you got it written down, kids? You know where it is? Of course not. It was near, not in, but near the courthouse in Bell Fountain. And it's still being used. I'm going to have to take a drive up there. A lot of these trivia questions have inspired me to get in our little motor or our RV, take our little RV and go hunting these places up. I'd like to see that, especially since it's still being used well over 100 years ago, 140 years ago almost. All right. Did you know what you have to do if you want to serve horse meat at an Ohio restaurant? I'm going to tell you this one right off the bat because it's just nauseating to me. They must display a sign that says horse meat served here. Thank goodness for that. Now, I've had bear meat. I can't honestly say I've ever had horse meat. I've had dog meat, which I didn't know it was dog meat at the time. I knew afterwards. It all tastes like chicken anyway, right? I'm not going to ask this one because it confused me when I read it the first time. I'm not quite sure what it means. Okay, here's one that we can all answer. We all know this one. Dresden is the home of the world's largest basket. Who built the basket, and how big is it? Now we all know the answer to that one, too. I'm going to give that one quickly, too. That one was, Dresden was the home of the Longa Burger building, which was built in, looked like a basket. It wasn't a real basket. I don't think any giant would have picked it up and put giant watermelons in it. But it looked like a basket. It was 7 stories high and had 180,000 square feet. I believe that Longa Burger has now gone out of business. But it's located in Basket Village, USA, which is near Dresden, apparently. All right. Did you know that Columbus was not the first capital of the state of Ohio? What city do you think was? Now, I think we've asked this question once before. Some of these questions I think we've asked before. It never hurts to pound them into your head, right, so that you will always be an expert on Ohio. If you're interested in answering, well, we only have 3 minutes, so I'm not going to give our phone number out again. But if you're interested in knowing the answers, keep listening. We'll tell you. And I'll tell you, right now we got somebody calling in. Hang on. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Is it Marianna?
It was. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was Chillicothe.
Oh, okay.
Was the first one. I thought that Marietta was, I think it was in the running, but I don't think it got it. But thank you very much for your call. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Yeah, I agree. I thought that, too. When I first saw that question, I thought, well, maybe it was Chillicothe, then Marietta. But apparently, it was only Chillicothe was the first capital. And then, well, maybe it was the second capital. It just doesn't say it on my crib sheet that I have here. Great try. Thank you very much for calling in. And that would have probably been my guess as well, Marietta. I love the town of Marietta. My son played baseball at Marietta College. And the town is kind of a neat old town. I wouldn't say I want to live there, but it was kind of a neat old town. And we'd wander about in some neat old restaurants there and neat buildings. Anyway, one last question, all right? In 1879... Cleveland became the first city to be what? 1879, Cleveland became the first city to be... What do you think? We only have about 30, 40 more seconds, so I'm not going to ask you to call in, but I'll tell you what. This one I didn't have any idea. You know, this is the first city that had this in Ohio. The entire city was lucky enough to be lighted by electricity. Pretty cool, huh? Well, anyway, thanks a lot for listening today, and I'll be back at 12:15 or something like that, and we'll talk about protests that have changed history. And thanks a lot for listening to Glenn Coble here on WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.